Major League Baseball is back this week, ushering the final season at one of the oldest stadiums. The Oakland Athletics will be leaving the Oakland Coliseum after this season and heading to Las Vegas. The Athletics, the A's, are just the latest pro team to leave to ditch Oakland. In the past decade, the city has lost the football Raiders, the NBA Warriors, and now the A's are following the Raiders to Sin City. For its loyal fan base, what could be worse? Well, I talked to Dan Moore back in January. He lives in the Oakland area in Northern California, and he writes for The Ringer and Oakland Side magazine. And I asked him what the end of professional sports in Oakland means for the community.
I think first and foremost, what's happened here is a tragedy. And what's been lost is far more than just a handful of teams, right? What you have are engines of community and emblems of culture that were really very important here, stolen away from these fans. You know, it's the equivalent of a kind of social infrastructure being torn down, or these civic institutions that are being taken away. So these are things that are really hard to replace, and that in Oakland in particular were very important. I'll spare your listeners the long history, but you know, Oakland is a kind of unique Californian city in that sports have mattered here in a kind of Rust Beltian way, where these teams were ways of lifting the city up in the eyes both of Oaklanders themselves and nationally. These teams helped Oakland achieve a kind of major league status that it had long sought over its history. And now to lose that makes it particularly, and I think, uniquely painful.
I mean, when I think about the Raiders, I obviously think about Ken Stabler, Biletnikoff, and John Madden coaching the Raiders with the A's. They won three World Series in the early 70s in 1989. And then, of course, Moneyball, the brilliance of data analytics that became a movie. You know, in June, A's baseball fans staged a reverse boycott. Help us understand what that was about.
So to understand the reverse boycott and what A's fans were doing and are still doing, by the way, you have to understand the A's owner, John Fisher, the heir to the Gap Inc. fortune. He purchased the A's in 2005, and since purchasing them had pretty much tried consistently to move the team out of Oakland ever since then. And remarkably, after he's let all the beloved A's players go away, either to free agency or to trades, he raises ticket prices. What a lot of people think he was doing all of this for is to create this picture where Oakland doesn't care about sports. He wants to drive fans away from the ballpark, alienate them such that they stop caring about the A's and such that they start playing in front of empty crowds. And so the reverse boycott was actually derived from this goal to prove Fisher wrong and to say, no, we do care about baseball and we do want the A's to stay here. So they ended up filling the stadium on a boring Tuesday night, the kind of night where here in Oakland you would probably see around 2,000 to 3,000 fans these days. And it was this sort of very typically Oakland piece of political protest and political theater, really. I mean, that's when you hear those chants in the crowd. Again, the goal of it was to refute the lie upon which Fisher's relocation narrative had been founded.
Kind of brilliant. Were you there?
I was there. It was, I think, probably the most cathartic sports experience of my life. In addition to covering this move, I'm also a lifelong A's and ex-Raider fan myself. So I was
X
both trying to report.
Because they left?
That's right, yeah. And I think that a lot of people here feel that, both about the Raiders and most A's fans that you talk to here in Oakland would tell you that there would be no love lost with the team, that if they do move to Vegas, they will not become Las Vegas A's fans.
Well, as far as the business side of this, you mentioned the owner trying to extract money, play cities against one another to get as much as they can. We certainly see this in the, you know, where I live in the Metro Washington, D.C. area. You know, they're trying to bring the hockey team and the basketball team over to Virginia. And I mean, we know about this. Is that just the reality as the owners see it, that the sports economics have less and less to do today with ticket sales and fan bases?
I think that's certainly a part of it. I think what this also exposes is a certain hypocrisy that lies at the heart of the sports business, which owners for a long time, sincerely, conceive of their teams as businesses, right? As these capital assets that are designed for making money and that they can do anything that they want with. However, they also explicitly market these teams as community assets. And so, you know, one reason that I think this move in the A's relocation is not only tragic, but highly typifying is it sort of follows, to your point, a tried and true playbook for pitting cities against each other, for extorting host cities under threat of relocation for public funding. And some of that certainly has to do with changes in maybe some of the revenue models. But I think, unfortunately, this has been a part of sports and the sports business for a long time now.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you briefly about the basketball team, the Golden State Warriors. They, of course, have had a lot of success.
That'll do it. It's over. The Golden State Warriors return to a familiar place. They're on top of the NBA world. The fourth title in 8 years. The Dubs dynasty is still very much alive.
You know, the Warriors, they won in Oakland, and then they moved just across the bay to San Francisco. In a way, there's a team still kind of close by in Oakland. Is there still love for the Warriors? I'm trying to think of what I would think if, say, my hockey team, the Washington Capitals, moved to Baltimore. Not so sure.
Yeah, the Warriors situation is a bit different than the Raiders, and it's certainly different from the A's in that the Warriors actually started in San Francisco. They were the San Francisco Warriors originally, and so they've always kind of been the Bay Area's team. That said, there is still a sense of loss here in Oakland, and you can feel it when you go to the games in San Francisco. The atmosphere is just palpably different, to use a kind word. The Warriors in Oakland reflected and embodied something about the spirit of the East Bay. You know, there was something about when Steph Curry would do his shimmy, or, you know, when Draymond Green would bowl through somebody in the lane. That's Oakland's artistic joy and its grit rolled into one. And over time, Oakland really had adopted that team, and they contributed to the experience of watching that team in ways that I think San Francisco's tonier crowd doesn't quite do. So you're right that it's a bit less tragic, but it was still something that Oaklanders mourned and that I think that we can feel still.
Dan, finally, I as I kind of look at the timeline, this is generational change for, as you describe, Oakland, this gritty city. The Warriors came in 62. The Raiders began in 1960. The A's came from Philly in 1968. When you think about the most important sports memories in the town for you, what comes to mind?
The Warriors championship parade, for their first championship parade, I believe that was 2015, that followed many, many decades of competitive irrelevance for the Warriors. It ended a spell of about 30 years of championship drought here in Oakland. And there was a giant parade that wound around Lake Merritt, went through downtown. Huh. Steph Curry addressed this massive crowd at the end of it and said explicitly that this is for Oakland. And it was every reason that we celebrate sports in a way that we don't, you know, other businesses or other entertainment options. It exemplified what elevates sports to kind of this higher level of civic and social importance. And so that, to me, stands out as Oakland's kind of shining moment. I'm not sure if it really gets better than that. The other moment, honestly, I think that is also telling and is also instructive is that reverse boycott last year. They're sort of opposite sides of the coin, but what that boycott showed, and I think can illustrate, is what sports arouse within us. And you see evidence of how viscerally people care about these institutions and these teams and these community spaces and how doggedly they're willing to fight for them. I think both those instances really kind of show you something about Oakland, but also something about why we care about sports in the first place.
Yeah. Dan Moore is a sports writer in the Bay Area, a native of the Bay Area. Dan, very good to have you. Thank you.
Thanks so much.